This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Books Uncovered, an exciting conversation about books and literary events, brought to you by the Dunedin Athenaeum Library and Mechanics Institute.
I'm Holly.
And I'm Bella.
Over the next half hour, we'll dive into themes ranging from romance to quirky book blurbs, all discovered within the depths of the Athenaeum Library. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to another episode.
Back again.
Back again on the first official day of school holidays as well, I think.
Yes.
You count Saturday as the start?
Yeah, I guess you would.
Yeah. Awesome. So, today we're going to talk about essays,
yes.
Which are pretty, I quite like essay writing. I find like a lot of poets end up doing essays.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Like life writing.
Yeah.
Sort of memoir with a twist.
It's probably one of my favourite genres, I think, of writing.
Yeah, okay.
Essays. I just love how broad it can be.
Yeah, and it's funny because, like, quite often, like, it will be writers on writers or it will be in a bookshop categorised in that way.
Yeah, on writing.
Yeah.
I think we have our own essays section at University Bookshop.
Oh,
it's
that's
not
cool.
Huge, but there are a few. Although then there's other essay books which are, like, shelved in other bits, so it's like
kind of scattered.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have at the Athenaeum Library, who brings you this lovely show. Our essays, I guess, would just get put into biographies, but I'm sort of buying more essays and particularly New Zealand as well.
Yeah, there's some great ones. I've just started reading Tina Makariti's This Compulsion in Us, which I was hoping to talk about in this episode, but then I've been very busy this week, so I didn't get to finish it.
She wrote The Myers.
Yeah.
I still haven't read that one yet. Cool.
Yes.
So which one are you talking about today?
I am talking my first book that I read. I actually read this a wee while ago, but I loved it, so I thought it would be a good one to bring to the table. It's called The Message by Ta-Nehisi Coates. So this was published in October last year, so it's not new, but still pretty new. And I picked this up because I really loved Ta-Nehisi's first book, which came out quite a while ago, called Between the World and Me, which was a really personal exploration of black masculinity in American life in the form of a letter to his son. So the message is kind of similarly structured, but this time it's like a series of essays that he's writing to his students in a class he taught at Howard University. The message, the essays take you through Coates' journeys all over the world. So he recounts his experiences in places like Dakar in Senegal, Colombia in South Carolina, and Palestine's West Bank. And uses each location as sort of a springboard for reflecting on topics like white supremacy, colonialism, and what it means to be a black writer today. Above it all, I thought the book was really like a call of action for his students that he's writing to, but also to everyone. So urging you to see writing as a powerful tool for change. And he does that by connecting his own observations with global liberation efforts. I thought it was a really amazing book. He's an excellent writer. I highly recommend Between the World and Me as well. And I think he has another book called We Were 8 Years in Power about Obama. But I haven't read that one because I was not particularly interested, but
so he's a big advocate of the power of the pen.
Yes.
Not and the sword.
Yeah, I really, really liked his essay story about his experiences with the American education system. So he talks about his own upbringing, and then his book, Between the World and Me, is being banned in a lot of schools.
Really? Because
it talks about, black history in America, which, as hopefully everyone knows, they're trying to completely whitewash, like, what happened.
Country to be in.
I know. Yeah, so he talks a lot about the education system and what it values in students is, like, the passive regurgitation of information rather than any desire to develop critical thinkers. I really enjoyed his discussion of why books in particular are considered so dangerous to those who don't want the mainstream narrative challenged. It's a good quote from it where he says, film, music, the theatre, all can be experienced amidst the whooping, clapping and cheering of the crowd, but books work where no one else is looking, mind-melding author in the audience, forging an imagined world that only the reader can see. So yeah, I really liked that. That's beautiful. Like the middle part, the middle essay of the book. And the last part, which is it's the longest section of the book, is about he goes to Palestine and sort of does a lot of reckoning with what he didn't know. And he also apologizes because he wrote a really famous essay called The Case for Reparations in 2014. And he sort of, in the piece, he promoted Germany's reparations to Israel, comparing it to what could happen to African Americans. But he didn't include any context about their occupation of Palestine. Okay. So a lot of it is his reckoning and of that he made a mistake and that he's learned now, which is quite nice to read.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very rarely hear anyone say, I made a mistake and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And yeah, so there's a lot of reckoning with things he didn't know and that he's learned. And yeah, really the whole last essay of the book is really powerful about, who stories we don't hear and why. And yeah.
Cool.
Highly recommend.
Yeah, so it sounds really interesting. Read. Yeah.
So that was The Message by Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Awesome.
What have you been reading?
Oh, wow. something a bit, not as challenging, I suppose, but so I've been reading, but still nonetheless coming to some interesting ideas. So Irene Beatrice, I think that's how you say her name, she is the author of Bug Week, which won the 2021 Ockham Prize, which people might be familiar with, mm-hmm. and she's also published, I think, 4 collections of poetry. And she's a science teacher as well. So she's got an ecology background is what she studied. But she's been writing for a really long time. But yeah, so this is a book called Beautiful Afternoon. It was published in 2024 and it's made up of 17 essays. So it's quite raw and at times really vulnerable and really honest. And she's sort of doing a lot of reflection back into her life, as a young teen and an early 20s and sort of her body in a social space or in school. And speaks to topics such as literature, the environment, religion, media, dance and gardens. And it's quite conversational. I think it's done in quite nice approach because I feel like sometimes when poets do essays, they make it quite, I don't want to say flowery because that seems really kind of oddly gendered as well, but it's focused on the beautiful sentence and this sort of thing, whereas this seems a bit more straightforward and it doesn't focus on using clever similes or metaphors or anything like that. It's really easy to get involved in it. So she's quite an interesting lady. She had a Quaker upbringing, so she talks to that, and she's also quite left-leaning. And the other essay that I brought in to talk about today, I was thinking, because it's also by a New Zealander, how they sort of contrast each other. But Irene's definitely sort of anarchist-leaning. And you really feel that in her writing and her approach to stuff. There's an essay about pole dancing and how she found her way to start doing that in her life at 35 as a kind of reclaiming, and that it's a kind of coming back to dance and the body after being separated from it from abusive situations and this sort of stuff. So I think her writing's really brave, and I admire her ability to write so clearly on some pretty heavy themes at times. I haven't read every single essay in it yet. I've just gone in and out. I do recommend it. I think, she's a really interesting writer, and it'll be curious to see where she goes after this, because she does speak about kind of not writing poetry these days. as much because she's found dance, which is really cool. And sort of using her body, like her body has become like a poem.
That's very cool.
Yeah, which I think is really interesting. But yeah, I felt kind of like a little bit biased reading it because years and years ago I lived with her as a horrible 20-year-old at the time. I was the horrible 20-year-old, just terrible flatmate. So yeah, it was kind of hard to do that, like separate the author from the writing, and obviously it's like personal essays as well. But I think she does it really well. Like there's another person that's done a similar thing, and it feels invasive almost that you're reading this personal stuff, but Beatrice doesn't make you feel like that.
Mm.
Like it feels like you're very welcomed
in, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's Beautiful Afternoons.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
It's one that's been on my list for a while.
Yeah, same. A friend of mine was like, you have to read it. It's really good. But, yeah, I'll definitely be finishing the book. But, yes. Mm-hmm.
That's what I like about essays is that you can just, like, pick them up. And
yeah.
It's like, I like to buy essay collections that I really enjoy just because often I want to, like, go back and, you know, read that one bit, like Olivia Language, of who I've talked about so much on this podcast, is my favourite writer.
But yeah, it is. It's kind of like poetry in that sense, hey? Like, it's the book like you want to actually own.
Yeah. And you can give it to people and be like, you should read this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did another book that I've read. I read it ages ago, but I got it out from the library recently and have been flicking through just because I was thinking about it. So it's called Something That May Shock and Discredit You. It's by Daniel M. Lavery. And this collection was published in 2020 originally. And I picked this one because I've been a long-time fan of Daniel's work. He was the co-creator of the website The Toast. Did you ever read that?
No.
It was like, I used to read it so much. It was sort of they published essays and mostly literary parodies and fiction. It was like just so funny. Wow. And a lot of writers like Roxane Gay and Nicole Chung, they used to post a lot on there like before they sort of blew up. And Patricia Lockwood, no, they closed it. And I was looking, I was like, is it still online? But I think the whole thing is gone.
It's such a shame when that happens because you kind of expect web pages to just exist forever, but of course you've got to pay.
Yeah, I think I know the Library of Congress like took it into their archives. So I don't know, you could probably access it through them.
Okay.
But just like a real moment in time was their website for me. So this book, I was like, what genre is this book apart from essay? And I was really struggling looking through reviews on Goodreads, and someone said that it lands on a theological exploration of gender told through personal essays and literary pastiche. I was like, that's perfect. I'll say no more. So what I've always loved about Lavery is how even if you haven't read the original text he's writing about, which I usually haven't, I haven't read heaps of classic literature, you can still get really drawn into the writing, which I do realise that everyone might not feel that way, so that might not be for everyone. But yeah, so an example is I've never watched Star Trek and I still loved the essay. Captain James T. Kirk is a beautiful lesbian and I'm not sure exactly how to explain that. So,
like, amazing.
You don't need to, like, it's just such good writing that you still enjoy it.
Yeah.
So yeah, the book is like a series of meditations and a signature kaleidoscope of cultural references, which highbrow, lowbrow, there's a lot of biblical references. And yeah, it sort of touches on lots of things, the Bible, Pilgrim's Progress, Mean Girls, Sir Gawain and the Green Knight, to Anne of Green Gables. But yeah, I really loved what made this book really special was how the way Lavery sees all these stories he finds familiar through a fresh set of eyes, and he talks about this as he considers transition and then eventually transitions, so into a man. So yeah, you find yourself looking at the recurring themes of change and transformation in these stories, and so yeah, it ties all the interests around his particular worries and dilemmas and takes us through his emotional states related to transition. I really like that. I thought it made it a really beautiful book. And it's like really deftly handles changes in tone. So it can be really light at one moment and the next heavy. And then it's anxious, but still it's fun. Makes you cry. And Yeah, I really liked how different all the essays were and how you felt like you came really acquainted with his personality while not cataloguing events the way memoirs usually do. So you sort of really get to know him, but yeah, without being like, this is what happened in my life.
Yeah,
you're reading it through some like tangential, like it's like a retelling of Lord Byron, like in the present day, but still you have like this sense of what the author's going through. And the book is so funny. Like, he's such a funny writer, and it's funny without being cruel or cutting. And yeah, it's really honest and touching and personal without being sappy. So highly recommend.
Where's he from?
America.
Oh, yeah. So yeah. They're both American.
Yes, so it did, yeah. Two Americans.
Ah, interesting. Yes,
and I will talk about New Zealand essays because that's what we were meant to do. And then I was like, sorry, Holly.
I think we were going to do New Zealand nonfiction and then, but yeah.
Yeah, I'll do that another time.
Well, I picked these two up because I just bought them for the Athenaeum. So that's what drew me to them. So the next, yeah, the one that I wanted to talk about is Flora Feltham. I think that's also how you say her last name. A book called Bad Archive. It's her debut novel. I think she's written a wee bit for The Guardian and a few other places has been published. She's one of the modern letters students who did an MA, I don't know how long ago. Recent years, I suppose. And I picked this up because of the cover, because the cover is so cool. And Bad Archive is a great name. But on the cover, there's this picture of headphones, and instead of the earpieces, they're shells. But anyway, so this is a collection of 13 stories, or perhaps more personal essays, but they are kind of read-like stories. She's sort of got a really wonderful way of approaching things with a familiar yet original perspective. So like in the first essay, she's describing the act of archiving a journal from a young woman called Ellen Mariette Watson. And this young lady, Ella, is at the turn of the century, so 18-something, and is living in Christchurch, and her family send her to London. So she's journaling all of this, and she lives in South London. They've sent her there because they don't want her to marry the bricklayer that she's in love with in New Zealand. They're sort of hoping she'll find some British guy. As Flora is writing about this archiving, this journal, it's also interspersed with what she's imagining, and she's sort of filling in the gaps that aren't there in the journal. So it becomes really, it's really wonderful. It becomes kind of like a fictional story because obviously it's made up, but then it's also talking about her being an archivist and talking to her colleagues and the act of archiving. It's quite an interesting sort of hybrid of sorts. It really, sort of invites you into the imagination of the author. But then it seems to deviate from the other essays.
Okay, so that was like a...
Yeah, this one for me just really stood out as like wonderful. Again, I haven't had a chance to read the whole book, but I have gone in and out and read reviews about it. As I was saying, like the cover has these headphones on it, and then you learn in her essay, Gather Your Strength, that her partner recreates the beach in their spare room, which I thought was pretty cool.
Well, brings in all the sand.
And like puts two beach chairs and a big heater, and then you put the headphones that you can hear the sea.
Mm. Is this like an all the time thing or just occasionally?
I think it was a looking back at like this had happened at some point. She sort of speaks about, in other ones she's talking about Proust and his Madeleine cake, you know, the... where he eats the Madeleine cake and then he's reminded of this childhood event. Mm-hmm. So she tries to recreate that by eating a frozen lasagna from the New World in Wellington in Newtown because she had this event happen to her in her teenage years and she's trying to remember it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's talking, at times about her mother's mental illness. And her partner lives on an island, which I forget what the island is, and he works for Doc.
Mm.
So they both live there and they're about to have a baby. Mm. Yeah. So kind of for me, reading alongside Irene Beatrice's Beautiful Afternoon, it felt really twee. And I think it's really cute and it's really well done. But as I said, I thought the first essay about the actual archiving was just really, really strong. Yeah, it was kind of like, yeah, a reneving anarchist and then Flora Feltham being sort of quite twee. But also she references like Nina Minger-Powell's, how she writes on food, because there's a little bit of that in that as well. You can kind of see that they've come from the same school of study and that there's like an approach that's quite similar. And it's really, I'm going to say approach again, it's really approachable. It's really easy to get into the writing. And yeah, I'll be really interested to see what sort of stuff that she writes after this, if it will continue being nonfiction, because I thought when she started talking about this young lady in the 20th century, I thought that was, yeah, really strong.
The strongest.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds really, that's particularly sound like that's exactly
appealing
to my interests.
And because it is archiving, but maybe there are more essays in there specifically about archiving. But then also, I think she might be quite young as well, and so it's like so promising and wonderful, and yeah so I think exciting. She's definitely someone to keep an eye on and to see, yeah, what stuff she creates in the future. But yeah, that's Flora Feltham, Bad Archive.
Yeah, that one is also on my list.
Yeah.
My long, long list. But I've been wanting to read that one for ages. Well, also because I love the cover. I'll get it out from the Athenaeum Library.
Get it out from the Athenaeum Library, which is who brings you this beautiful show. I just went in there before and it's, because it's, we're recording this after 5, so obviously it's like dark. And it's so nice in there when it gets all dark and atmospheric.
Oh, nice. And like rain on the roof, that'd be nice.
Yeah, yeah, you really hear the rain on the roof as well. And we recently just got a puzzle in there. And then it was so cool because I set it up and then 5 minutes later, this Scottish family turned up out of nowhere with two little kids and they like did the whole outline of the puzzle.
Oh, perfect.
That was really cool. It's like, where did you come from?
I was just waiting for a puzzle to appear.
Yeah, it was like it manifested them. It was beautiful. But yeah, I don't know. That's kind of, there was something I wanted to mention about an event, but I've gone mind blank on it.
The Writers and Readers Festival has, I just got an email from them today. They're announcing, it was their first announcement. Ooh. Of their festival hub is going to be in the Glenroy Auditorium this year.
Yeah, so it's all cool. Happening there.
Yeah.
I think we might be doing something at the Athenaeum.
Exciting.
I still have to, catch up with someone about that. And that was what I was going to say. It's the Ockham, they're doing like a call out for judges for the Ockham Awards for next year. So you can apply to be a judge. You know, obviously they're looking for people who have literary backgrounds or teachers or bookshop sellers or librarians. Mm. And, yeah, pretty interesting.
That'd be quite cool.
Yeah, I don't know if you get to choose the category. I guess you do, and then they send you the books. And
yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder how many. Interesting.
I know. Mm. Something to think about for the future.
For the future.
Future, future.
Write it in your diary and think about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Future.
Danica and Robin, shout out, because they were like, oh my God, I can't believe it. They're my friends listening to this in Dorset in the UK.
Wow.
Yeah, they were really, really stoked.
Our international fans.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Anyway, I hope everyone has a beautiful weekend.
Yes, lovely speaking with you.
And it hasn't been flooding anywhere.
Mm.
Cool.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Books Uncovered. Exciting conversations about books and literary events. Brought to you by the Dunedin Athenaeum Library and Mechanics Institute.
Join us, Holly and Bella, every second Saturday at 12 p.m. as we dive into themes ranging from romance to quirky book blurbs, all discovered within the depths of the Athenaeum Library.
That's Books Uncovered.
Saturdays at 12 on ORFM and online at oar.org.nz.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.